That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here. After a 4-2 Blackhawks loss to the Dallas Stars at American Airlines Center, you can call or text at 312-981-7200. Got a full postgame show tonight going up to 10:30. And for more on tonight's game, let's bring in Troy Murray from Dallas, who just had the call with John Weideman. Troy, how do you sum that one up? I can hear the Stars trolling the Blackhawks with Chelsea Dagger in the background.
Yeah, they've been doing that for a while here now. That's not nice. Not nice.
I do remember them doing it last year. It was after the, I think it was New Year's Eve, the Hawks were there. And that became a thing when the Blackhawks, I think we tweeted it out and we're like, well, they probably shouldn't have done that because the Hawks are in town again tomorrow night or the next night. So that's okay. They can have their cake.
Yeah.
How do you sum this one up tonight?
Well, Peter Mrazek, first star. I mean, he was great for the Blackhawks. Some spectacular saves. 40 minutes, just not good enough. But they found energy in the third period. And, you know, they battled hard. And it was the fourth line in a lot of ways with Maroon and Smith and Donato setting the tone there. Everybody kind of followed suit after that. Maroon, though, a nice job by him in this game, was with two assists plus one in just over 14 minutes. He had four hits in this game. And, you know, you just look at where do you get the spark from? And these are the guys that don't play a whole lot. You need a lot more. I mean, Hall, Bertuzzi, Kurashev, quiet in this game. You know, Teravainen quiet in this game. And they just didn't have everybody on board, and it was a tough struggle. And it's a good team that they're playing. The Dallas Stars are a very good team, one of the best in the NHL. It kind of almost looked like they lost interest in the game. And maybe they, once going into the third period, they kind of just say, okay, we're up. We're going to in control. There was no threat through 40 minutes. But all of a sudden, the Blackhawks started to pick up their pace. And Dallas all of a sudden got on their heels and really didn't recover. And the Blackhawks had an opportunity late in the game with Mrazek on the bench to tie this game up and get some points out of it. Good, solid effort by the Hawks to not quit in this game, but not good enough through 60 minutes.
Yeah. Looking at the last few games the Blackhawks have played, San Jose, Buffalo, Vancouver, Nashville, you know, you fall behind to them. There's a, you know, you can mount a comeback of some sort against a team like Dallas that is legitimate Stanley Cup contender. It's going to be really hard when you fall behind two goals going into the third.
Yeah, it is tough to continue to kind of battle that on a consistent basis. They got to find a way to put themselves in a position where, you know, they're in control of the game rather than chasing the game, and it just hasn't been that way. And coming into tonight's game in the third periods, the Blackhawks have been outscored 10-5, so they're not finishing strong the way that they need to. And for the, you know, for a team that is looking for that spark, looking for that opportunity, they just didn't get it. And you know, the score in the third period were two apiece. Chicago had two, Dallas had a couple, so they were even at least in this. But you know, you're still battling from behind, and it takes up so much energy, and you're killing penalties. Power play was not very good again tonight, and that really hurts a team that struggles 5-on-5 to score goals. They don't have the elite scoring that maybe some of the top teams have, so you kind of rely on certain things to make the difference in the game, and special teams have not gone in their favor the last little while. They got to get better at that because they've got five in a row here on the road, including tonight's game, so it's not going to get any easier, not going to get the matchups that you're looking for, so you're just going to have to fight through it and battle hard like the veteran guys did in that third period.
I don't want to make any excuses for the Blackhawks, but you can kind of see a reasoning why they started slow, it being the second of a back-to-back. They had a demoralizing loss last night against Nashville where they were leading by two goals, squandered that lead, and then they had to go right back to Peter Mrazek, although we can't even use that as an excuse because he was by far the best player on the ice for the Blackhawks tonight.
I you know what? I'm going to kind of go against you here. There is no excuses. There's so many back-to-backs in the NHL now that they're used to it. College teams, and they're not the same thing, but they play Friday and Saturday night all the time, back-to-back games. Yeah, they don't play during the week, so it's can't quite compare it. Guys in the minors play it all the time. It's not a big deal. For Mrazek to go back-to-back, not a big deal. Fresh and ready to go. You saw his performance tonight. You know, he was far from being tired in this game, and he was excellent. You got to prepare yourself. And it's not the coach's job to get these players prepared for the game. They prepare them in the way that they need to. Video, power plays, penalty kill, game plan. But individually, you have to find a way to get yourself prepared to play the game. And, you know, teams, it happens all the time. We were talking about the Winnipeg-Edmonton back-to-back on the road trip. Maybe the best game the Blackhawks have played all year was that Edmonton game. No different than this one. You didn't have a morning skate. They had a little stretch. They had a team meeting. They had the meal, the breakfast, and then everybody took a, you know, their lunch and did what they do in the afternoon, whether it's nap, whether it's just a rest up, prepare themselves for the game. But they didn't push. And how can a team, if you can go through 40 minutes with no energy and saying, oh, you know, we traveled and we, you know, blah, 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 have that much energy in the third period? I know it's a small sample of it, but, you know, they have to be better. And this is a good team. There is no reason to sit here and say that, you know, we can just throw our sticks out there and we're going to win this game. This wasn't the case coming into Dallas, and there's no excuses. They just have to be better, and I think that they showed it mentally when they get engaged into the game in the third period. They started to dictate the pace. Maybe, you know, Dallas at that point just backed off a little bit. They were up 3-0. Okay, we're in cruise control here halfway through, and then all of a sudden, Denial scores that goal, just a hard-working goal into the crease area, and that really spurred a lot of energy. So it's not like they were tired. Not that they didn't have the energy. It just didn't come out.
Yeah, that's a good point. And they also had 3 days in between, or two practice days in between the Vancouver and Nashville games, so they had time to kind of work on some things. I guess where I was coming from is, you know, you suffer your third loss of the season against Nashville the other night, and it's a demoralizing loss, and it's like it can be easy for the intrusive thoughts to start to compound, like, man, you really need to put together a 60-minute effort to win in this league. And then you go into Dallas that hasn't lost at home yet. Jake Ottinger, Stanley Cup contender. I mean, it's a psychological hurdle as much as anything as well.
It is, and I agree with you on that. I mean, even if you're one of the top teams in the NHL, where the Blackhawks are striving to get in that area, it's going to take a while. But even if you're one of the top teams, you're coming in here, and it's a tough building to play in. And Dallas did what they needed to win this game, put it that way. Through two periods, they were in control. We've seen it here in the American Airlines Arena when this team really gets revved up and the excitement gets in the building. We never had that because it just didn't seem like Dallas was in any trouble in this game. And I think that maybe kind of resonated a little bit in the third period, especially when they scored that third goal. And so, okay, here we go. That was the power play goal with 1 second remaining. Almost got away with it. But, you just kind of got to sit there and go, where was the energy for the first 40 minutes? Where was that execution that we saw, the desire, that the determination that we saw in the third period? Where was that from everybody in the first couple periods? Connor Bedard, you know, what a great shot by him. He had a couple opportunities in this game. Bertuzzi hit the post. He had a couple opportunities in this game. But some quiet games from some other guys. And again, you know, defensively, they gave up too many opportunities. This is a good team. They roll four lines. They come at you. And Peter Mrazek did what the team asked him to do. Give us a chance to win. He did that.
Yeah, the schedule doesn't get any easier next game going in Colorado. I'm sure they're going to be desperate. Although they are a little banged up right now, but if you look at the NHL leaderboard, Makar, McKinnon, Rantanen are both, all three of them are top three in points. So full 60 in money is needed.
We can talk about that when we get into Denver, but their top players are the top players in the NHL. Where I see a weakness in the Colorado team is they're just not, they don't have the depth that some of the maybe the contending teams have. Their goaltending is suspect compared to some of the other top teams. So they're a flawed team, but their top guys, McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar, you know, name me three better players in the game today in their positions. I don't know.
Yeah, good point. You guys heading to Colorado tonight?
Yeah,
Okay. Safe travels. Okay. I hear John laughing in the background.
Yeah, he chuckles every now and then.
I said that because I don't want you to be late for the bus, so I'll send you off now.
Appreciate it.
All right.
I don't want to miss the flight to Denver.
All right. We'll talk when you get there, or if you get there.
Well, hopefully I do, and we talk on Monday.
All right. Sounds good, Troy. Have a good one.
Thanks, Charlie. Good job.
All right. That's Troy Murray providing a recap for us here. Blackhawks fall to the Stars 4-2. You know, one of the things Troy mentioned, I'm going to get to Mrazek later on, but the power play, too, it was 5-for-16 going into tonight's game. The Blackhawks were really clicking in that department the first five games. They were clicking at 31.3%. I mean, it's really cooled off from a results standpoint. They've been 1-for, what were they tonight? I think they were 0-for-3 or 0-for-4. And so they only have one goal on the power play in their last four games. The number, I think it's 1-for-14 now. They were ranked 25th going into tonight's game. So it is weird, though, because the Hawks are getting looks on the power play, but they haven't been able to break through. Troy mentioned Tyler Bertuzzi getting a really quality look on the power play. Bertuzzi hit a post. He had one saved in the first, I think, from Nick Foligno. By the way, Tyler Bertuzzi, that post, the Blackhawks have hit 15 posts now this season, posts or crossbars. Tyler Bertuzzi has three of them, and he had six posts last year in 80 games, so he's already up to three through whatever it is, eight games with the Blackhawks. So he's been a little unlucky, but you know, you look at some of the last few games for the Blackhawks, Buffalo, Vancouver, Nashville, all of those were tight games till the end, and if they score one power play goal in either of those games, that the game changes, the feeling changes, the momentum might change, especially in the Nashville game, last one. I know there was that controversial offside was the Vancouver game, but you know, if the Blackhawks capitalize on the power play on one of their five opportunities in against Nashville the other night, it's probably a different game. And maybe if they win against Nashville, they're coming into Dallas with a little bit of a better feeling and not trying to overcome psychologically a tough loss while also facing one of the best teams in the NHL in the Dallas Stars, who are dynamite at home. And Jake Oettinger is probably going to be a Vezina Trophy finalist this year as well, given how he's performed. So you want to see the power play start to click. I will say this. I don't think I'm as concerned about the power play just yet because they are still getting looks. And even the Nashville game tonight, I mean, there were quite a few chances that the Blackhawks had. They just didn't bury them. I think where I would be concerned is if the Blackhawks were struggling on zone entries, struggling to get some offensive zone possession time, not looking discombobulated in the offensive zone. If it was, we saw that a lot last year. This year, up to this point, just take away the first five games of the Blackhawks scoring five power play goals. Just look at the last four. It feels like the Blackhawks are still getting chances, maybe not to the degree that they were in the first five games, but it is really about bearing down and capitalizing on those chances. And, you know, they have tinkered with the power play quarterback. Is it Alex Vlasic on the first unit? Is it Seth Jones? Seth Jones was the guy on the first unit for the first six, seven games. And the Blackhawks did really well with him there, having more of a shooting-type mentality. It was the Vancouver game in the third period where the Blackhawks made a little bit of a switch where Vlasic was the power play quarterback for that third period, and then they rolled with it again against Nashville. And Alex Vlasic said after that game, admittedly, he's like, I didn't like the way I played on the power play. And I think it was the end of the second period or might have been the third period against Nashville where the Blackhawks put Seth back on that first unit. And then Seth was on the first unit again tonight. So they're trying to find the right combination. I don't mind Luke Richardson toying around with different looks, but I think just keeping Seth there on the first power play unit, unfortunately for the Blackhawks, they don't have the power play quarterback of their future here yet. Kevin Korchinski is probably going to be that guy, or I should say the Blackhawks are hoping that he will be that guy down the road, but he's going to be in Rockford for the majority of the season, if not all year. And then Artem Levchinov, who we mentioned in the pregame show, made his pro debut with the Ice Hogs tonight. You know, he's a guy I could also see quarterbacking a power play unit, most likely the second unit, you know, for the Blackhawks team down the road. And that's where you can maybe scale back Seth's minutes and let him focus more on at even strength and penalty kill time and the really important situations for the Blackhawks. But right now, I don't think Seth is doing a bad job. I actually think the Blackhawks generated, you know, quite a bit of chances. Let me look up the numbers just to... So the Blackhawks had 509 of power play time tonight, 9 shot attempts, only 3 shots on goal, but they had 8 scoring chances. And the reason of the discrepancy of the 8 scoring chances versus 3 shots on goal is shot attempts count as a scoring chance. And so 6 of those 8 scoring chances were high quality chances, according to Natural Stat Trick. And their expected goals for on the power play today was 1.44. So that's a pretty high number of the Blackhawks generating but not capitalizing opportunities. All right, let's take a break here. We got some sound rolling in from Dallas inside the Blackhawks locker room. The postgame show rolls on after this. You're listening to 720 WGN.
High slot, Haskinen fires. That goes over the net. Puck taken back by Maroon. Headman pass Bedard over the Stars line. Shoots, he scores! Connor Bedard from the right wing circle. Fired a dart into the top shelf. Pass the goaltender, Ottinger. Call it a Bedard. And the Hawks are now back to within a goal of the Stars at 3-2. Another great shot by the youngster, Connor Bedard.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show. What a call there by John Weideman. Connor Bedard. I like that. You've got to trademark that phrase, John. That was his 3rd goal of the season, 2nd goal in 24 hours after having one against Nashville. It's kind of funny. It feels like after the Vancouver game, we were all like, Connor only has 1 goal in 7 games. When are the floodgates going to start to open? And if he was he's been generating chances. So it's funny to see that immediately after us kind of starting to press Connor on the goals and whether he's getting frustrated, you know, he scores in back-to-back games. And I expect that probably to continue moving forward because he's one of those guys that feels like once he starts to feel it and get hot, the floodgates are going to start to open. He was one of the 2 players that spoke to the media in Dallas. Let's hear what he had to say.
What's your analysis of that one?
I think just similar to a lot of games where it's we have moments, and not saying we're going to dominate the game all game because teams are too good to do that, but I think it's just kind of consistency.
It seems like in each game there's just one period where things don't go well, and it's hard to overcome that. First period today, 3rd period last night. Well, what's the key to stringing 3 good periods together?
I think just maybe not getting bored with what works. And, like I said, there's going to be periods where we're getting outplayed. We're not going to be perfect every period, but we just got to kind of stick to what we know works.
Tell me what you saw from your perspective on your goal. And that connection with Maroon.
I just stretch out, nice pass, and shot a puck.
For you, after a few games there where you were having a lot of chances and not scoring to get to in the last 2 games, does it feel like the dam is breaking a little bit?
You hope so. I think the main thing is getting those looks, and then hopefully, they go in. And I think there's a lot of guys that are getting good looks, so hopefully we can, put more in.
I know you guys say you're not into more victories anymore, but this team that's regarded as a contender, is that at least something that you can build off of? I said that you stay in this game with this group.
No. We're not just going to be happy that we stay in a game. We're all NHL players. That's not it's not the goal, it's frustrating. We're, 2-7? So it's pretty bad, and losing's not fun, so obviously you got to figure it out.
Reichel's been playing pretty good hockey lately. He moved up to your line tonight. What have you seen from him?
Yeah, he's been great. Using his speed, his skill set. I mean, everyone's always knowing how good of a hockey player he is, and how much skill he has. His skating is elite, and it's really fun to watch him play when he's going like that. And we expect that from him. He's a great player, and it's going to be exciting just to watch him keep getting better. And it's fun to watch.
That was Connor Bedard after scoring for the 2nd straight game. I thought it was interesting him saying not getting bored with what works when it comes to the Blackhawks just playing their game. And Dallas is a team, at least in the prior years, they would always play very tight checking, low scoring, to be frank, boring hockey. And so I think the Stars have a lot more firepower now where they can go toe-to-toe with teams offensively, but also win those lower scoring games. But I think for the Blackhawks, not wanting to be able to get in a run-and-gun kind of game with teams is kind of important for them to, you know, you don't really want to get inside those higher offensive matchups because it leads to leaky defense. And so I think the Blackhawks in the past haven't really been able to kind of be in those games because they haven't been able to score outside of Connor Bedard. But, you know, I'm wondering if the Blackhawks, at what point did they get bored in the, you know, in the game tonight? I think it was just a tough start against a Dallas Stars team that is really, you know, they're in an upper echelon, and the Blackhawks are still have a long way to go to kind of catch them. One of the assists on Connor Bedard's goal, as, you know, he was being asked about it, Pat Maroon, I mean, terrific pass to find Connor Bedard on that goal. Maroon actually had two assists. He assists on both of the Blackhawks' goals. He also spoke to the media in Dallas. Let's listen in.
Yeah, this is another one where you guys fought back and close loss. I know it's got to be tiring about hearing about that, but is there something to be said about hanging in there with a contender?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but we got to find ways to win hockey games right now. You saw our third period, what we did, got pucks in, we worked, we generate offense, create offense. We need to get our forecheck established. We need more OZ time. We need to get some energy building here. Like, you know, we can't focus on what's going to happen. We got to focus on the process right now. You know, I'm sick of losing.
It seems like every game there's one or two periods where you guys play really well. What's the challenge to have three straight that are good?
Yeah, I mean, we got to play full 60 minutes in this league. Everyone's a good hockey team. Yeah, we got to find ways to just generate offense, and that's not off the rush. It's getting pucks in and generate offense below the top of the circles, you know, create those second and third opportunities, create that shooting mentality, shoot and scramble. Like, we're not doing enough of that. The third period we did, and we got results out of it. And we were close to tying up, but obviously wasn't good enough. We got to find ways to build here. We got three more games on this road trip, and we got to find ways to win.
What'd you see on that stretch past the dart?
Yeah, I just got my head up right away, and I saw you. You know, we had a late change from Dono, and I think he was anticipating the play as we broke it up. We transitioned really fast. I got my eyes up, and he was calling for it, and just shot it down the ice for him.
For you, coming from a lot of teams that have been successful the past few years, what's your kind of analysis on these first eight games of the season for this team that's obviously trying to find a way to generate that success other teams have?
Yeah, I think we can agree our road trip out of the gates was great. I thought, you know, we could have won more games than we lost that road trip. I thought we played a solid road games through that, and then kind of got away from it again. We got a mature group in here now. We got a lot of veterans. We got to stick down and hold each other accountable and play the right way. We got to pull everyone in the fight. That's why good teams win. They pull everyone in the fight, and everyone's pulling on the same rope. Everyone's doing the same things. You know, it's predictable hockey. It's nothing crazy out of the ordinary, and find ways to win. You know, that's what we need to do right now. We got to play predictable. We got to play north-south game and find ways to just generate offense. We need more 5-on-5 zone play, especially in the ozone.
That was Blackhawks forward Pat Maroon, who had two assists tonight, including the one, the primary, on Connor Bedard's goal. It's interesting the way he was saying that the Blackhawks need to find ways to generate offense that's not off the rush. You know, more so, obviously, on the Bedard's goal, that Maroon had that really sweet stretch pass off the rush. You know, the Blackhawks have scored six of their goals on the power play this season. So they really haven't scored a ton of goals where they're cycling teams to death in the offensive zone, and they're getting those gritty type efforts in, you know, in the crease area. There was that weird goal today, which, by the way, Craig Smith was credited for the goal originally, which would have been his fourth of the season for a team lead, but Ryan Donato, it got changed to Donato. He scores his third goal of the season, which is now tied for the team lead with Bedard and with Smith and Foligno. So, but yeah, so we'll see if the Blackhawks try to, you know, I think scoring off the rush is, you see a lot of really good teams score that way. So I don't want to sound like that's a negative. Edmonton, Toronto, you know, Carolina, like a lot of these, Carolina is actually, they score a lot off the cycle too. They're a team that can do both. But a lot of the upper echelon teams are actually really good off the rush. So it isn't, you know, it's not a negative at all. I think the Blackhawks are just saying we can't be a one and done team where if we're not scoring on the rush, then they don't have a way to generate any offense scoring off the cycle. So we'll see if the Blackhawks kind of make that more of a focus moving into the road trip as they try to get back on track after suffering their fourth loss in a row. We have more to get to on the Blackhawks post-game show, including our save of the game and thoughts from Luke Richardson coming up right here on 720 WGN.
The other way come the Stars. Dadonov across the Hawk line, down the left wing. Tearing in behind the net, fed it out in front. Point-blank shot by Ben. Kicked out of there by Peter Mrazek with what might be the best save of the year. And then a follow-up shot from Lindell from the line is into the glove of Peter Mrazek. He is keeping the Hawks in this game.
Jamie Benn is standing in the blue paint, and he's talking to Peter Mrazek on how he makes this save, not only the first one, but the second one. My goodness, two fantastic saves.
That was tonight's save of the game, might even be save of the year for the Blackhawks, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at ComEd.com/poweringbiz. Peter Mrazek with the desperation stick save. He actually wasn't supposed to start today. It was supposed to be Arvid Soderblom, but Arvid got sick right before the road trip. So Peter Mrazek had to make the start for a second straight night. You rarely see that in today's NHL, just given the grind of an 82-game season and teams hopefully preparing for the playoffs. You know, you don't want to wear your starting goaltender out too early. And so Peter Mrazek went back-to-back, and thank God, I guess he did go back-to-back, because he was by far the best player on the ice for the Blackhawks tonight. You look at the raw stats, and he finished with 25 saves on 28 shots. But man, he was, a lot of those were high quality chances, and this game could have easily gotten out of hand if Peter Mrazek was not on his A game. So he deserves a much needed day off on Sunday. He'll probably be back in the net in Colorado on Monday, and then I imagine the Hawks are going to try to get Arvid back in there when he joins the team again, so that Peter's not being overworked on this road trip, especially this early in the season. Luke Richardson spoke to the media a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say on this game.
Well, I loved our push back at the end. I think that's our best look on a 6-on-5 situation. But you know what? Like, we really struggled a lot of the night, you know, breaking out the puck with numbers. We had a lot of single man or just two man line rushes for. You know, I mean, I think the pace, they set the high pace of the game, and we had a hard time matching that. You know, no excuses that we played last night or not. Everybody does that in this league at some point. So, you know, I mean, they were just the better of the teams the first two periods. But I liked right from the first shift of the third period, I thought Dickinson's line set that tone, and I thought we all followed that and pushed for a full 20 minutes there at the end.
It seemed like there were some bad breaks. Is there anything that Kaiser could have done on that first goal?
Yeah, you know, I think we got to watch Dadonov's known to take off, and I think, you know, he's a young defenseman, and he played close to him, and he's a great skater, Kaiser, but so is Dadonov, and when you let a guy get behind you, it's either going to be a penalty or a penalty shot, so, you know, just a lesson for a young defenseman, but, you know, I thought it didn't rattle him. He played a strong game the rest of the game and was confident. Which is good, but those are lessons that we have to learn and learn quickly.
It seemed like they were springing a lot of guys or trying to, and yep, were able to get more odd man breaks than you guys have given up lately.
Yeah, we've, you know, we had that in the pre-scout. That's kind of their thing. They're so strong on their sticks that they're confident when they get a touch, or it looks like they're going to be close to a touch, they spring one or two guys. And if not, then they'll, even on their line rushes, they fired off the end wall. So they're a tricky team like that, and they have the speed and the skill to do stuff with the puck when they do that.
I know that may not seem like the score 4-2, but can you talk about Mrazek's night and and keeping you guys in it?
Yeah, no, obviously great again. That's been, you know, the story for here for Peter since I've been here, really. As long as he's healthy, he's been unbelievably great. And two nights in a row, that's a lot of work for him. So that's something that we just don't want to do too many times to keep him healthy. But, yeah, he battled right to the end. And unfortunately, that power play goal at the end, we have to have that covered for him on the backside too. That was just a lapse of just too long a shift. And unfortunately, if we could have done that looking back now, then that would have gone a long way.
What did you see from Reichel in the first line tonight?
You know what? I think he had some times when he was skating, but that's a big, heavy team. And, you know, that was just a night where none of us got a lot going in the first two periods. But I thought in the third period, just to switch it up, I just switched the centers with Connor and Khrushchev near the end. And, you know, I think it was more the player sparking than me changing the lines, but I think they both did well. So, you know, that's something to kind of think about and look forward to the future. At least we have options. We're starting to see who can do what with the other players out there. But right now, it's about trying to find that first win and what equation is going to get us there.
You see that maroon stretch pass to Bedard, but you wonder why you don't see that more often.
Well, yeah, we definitely we didn't have the puck a lot in our zone, and when we did, we were tired from D zone coverage. So a lot of times we're changing, or we were a little bit, like I said, one or two guys together, not three or four guys together, like Dallas does very well. It's something that we can kind of steal from their game plan and try and implement in our game, but it takes a little time to get that continuity of everybody working together too. So that was just a great hockey play by Pat Maroon and Connor to take off when he knew he had full control. That's kind of what they did on the Dadonov goal. So we were maybe a little bit even on that one, one for one.
That was Blackhawks head coach Luke Richardson. Noteworthy thing from that one is him saying the Blackhawks had a tough time breaking out the puck with numbers. And it's easy to look at the Blackhawks and feel like they should have done a better job in that area. But man, that Dallas Stars team defensively and just their speed, they have all four of their lines and three defenseman pairings can skate and are very dependable. So it's not like, you know, you look at a team like the Blackhawks where there's a little bit of a drop off from the top six where you really need to grind out goals and buckle down defensively. You know, Dallas is a four line, three pairing, two goaltending team. And we saw that on full display tonight. So, you know, part of it goes to the Blackhawks could have been better in that department. But, you know, on the flip side of the equation, the Dallas Stars are also extremely well-rounded in that department. I do want to point out that Luke had mentioned how he flip-flopped Philip Khrushchev and Connor Bedard in the third period. I was trying to keep an eye on the lines because there was some line juggling going on. And, you know, even it was Reichel, Khrushchev, Teravainen, Hall, Bedard, Bertuzzi. I mean, I saw Foligno out there with Bedard again. Like there were quite a few different looks. And then late in that 6-on-5 opportunity for the Blackhawks in the third period when they were chasing that one goal lead, they had quite a bit of chances, you know, and Jason Dickinson looked like he was the extra attacker, whereas last night it was Lucas Reichel. So I don't want to read too much into that, but I think Jason Dickinson too is really the main guy that was going at the faceoff circle, and he has that offensive potential as well. So you're seeing Luke experimenting with different looks, whether it was on the power play with Seth Jones and Alex Vlasic flip-flopping, you know, whether it was going into this game, putting Lucas Reichel on the top line, dropping Foligno to the third line and moving Donato back in his fourth line role, which I thought the fourth line was actually probably one of the better lines for the Blackhawks tonight. And then trying to tinker a little bit more. I do want, hopefully, to see moving forward, Luke hasn't put Bedard and Khrushchev together yet. It's been all season long where they haven't played together. And those were, ironically, the two players that played the most together out of any duo for the Blackhawks. But the Hawks are so desperate in the second line center role that it's almost like out of necessity they need to keep Bedard and Khrushchev separated. But if they were looking for a spark, you know, I'd like to see them maybe go to Bedard and Khrushchev at some point, and you know, maybe just putting Kurashev on with Bedard and Teravainen, seeing what they could do together. But I don't mind the decision by Richardson to reward Lucas Reichel with a little bit more responsibility and ice time, because I think he's deserved it over the last few games that he's played, and earning his way from the four healthy scratches to then playing his way into a fourth line role, working his way out of that fourth line role to the second power play, and then getting moved up to a top six spot today with Connor Bedard. So we'll see how the Blackhawks shake up their lines going into Colorado, because we saw a bunch of different looks tonight. All right, we got one more break, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this right here on 720 WGN.
Jones will back up into the high slot and fire a shot that deflects to the left wing corner. Maroon there, scoops it behind the net. Donato, wraparound try. Ottinger down in the crease, stops it there. Smith came in late to try and poke the puck into the net and did.
Yeah, they're pointing it's a goal. They're pointing it, it's in the net.
And if this is Craig Smith's goal, it's his second in as many games. And it puts the Hawks on the board.
Yeah, this is going to be a good goal. They may challenge it, but the referee was in great position behind the net. He never blew the whistle. Dallas is not arguing with it. Donato's leading the procession to the bench, so maybe it's Donato's goal. Just a mad pileup around the crease area.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show, Charlie Romeliotis here, breaking down a 4-2 loss to the Dallas Stars. That was Ryan Donato getting credit with the Blackhawks goal there. I originally thought it was Craig Smith. I think the NHL credited Craig Smith originally. It would have been his fourth goal of the season, but they ended up changing it over time, and it's Ryan Donato now. That's his third goal of the season. And also, I forgot to say, Teuvo Teravainen also has three goals for the Blackhawks. So it's a tie. It's a five-way tie for the team lead right now in the goals department. Teravainen, Foligno, Craig Smith, Connor Bedard, and Ryan Donato. I do want to get to some final thoughts here, final notes that I made. Blackhawks took a couple penalties. Ryan Murphy in the first period, Seth Jones in the third period. This had no bearing on the game whatsoever and didn't really play a role, but I thought both of those were pretty soft calls, you know, if we're being honest. And I think both of them, you could tell by their reactions, they were kind of confused as to why those were called. And then I did want to shout out Blackhawks rookie defenseman Nolan Allen. We're slowly seeing the Blackhawks give him more and more responsibility. We saw it in the last game where he ended up sliding into the penalty kill role, and I think he logged like a minute and 20 of ice time on the penalty kill against Nashville. TJ Brody didn't log any minutes on the penalty kill against Nashville the other night. We did see Brody back in the PK spot. He logged almost 2 minutes of penalty kill time tonight. So that was a little bit of a change, and we didn't see Nolan Allen on the penalty kill. But Nolan Allen did record another assist, so that's his second career NHL assist. He had two block shots, he had a hit, and he also had a giveaway. But, you know, looking at natural stat trick, when he was on the ice at even strength, it was of 14:33 of ice time. The Blackhawks led 15-8 in shot attempts, and they outscored Dallas 2-0. So, and the scoring chances were 7-4 Chicago. So the good things were happening when Nolan Allen was on the ice. So it's good to see him taking a little bit more responsibility. I will say this: Alec Martinez joined the Blackhawks trip. He's been out for about a little more than a week with a groin injury. They sent Isaac Phillips back to Rockford, and Alec Martinez is on the trip. So I expect him, he might be ready to go. He might be ready to play on Monday in Colorado, and it's going to be interesting to see who comes out of the lineup. It has been Nolan Allen coming out of the lineup in the past, but you know, we'll see if the Blackhawks decide to give one of their veterans, maybe Brody, maybe you want to keep Nolan Allen in there to continue building. So we'll see what kind of lineup decision the Blackhawks do make there. And then also, lastly, the Hawks had a really tough first period in the faceoff department. They ended up actually finishing above 50%. They won 29 of 52 and, I'm sorry, 27 of 52 doing math here in real time. So they finished with a 52% in the faceoff department. Jason Dickinson led the way. He was 9-5 for a 64% win percentage. So nice to see the Blackhawks take a step in that department. All right, let's get to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Colorado Avalanche are next on the slate. Cale Makar has been sensational for the Avalanche. He scored another goal for the Avalanche against Utah the other night.
And now Kovalenko says that to McKinnon. Rantanen into the path of Cale Makar. 2-on-2 Makar holding, shooting, and he scores! All hail Cale! The streak! It's alive! It's alive!
What a call by Connor McGahee, Altitude Sports Radio. Thank you for that call. Colorado has been a weird team to figure out this year. They got off to a slow start, but they've been decimated with injuries. I think I saw five of their top nine players are out of the lineup. Jonathan Drouin is on injured reserve. Arturi Lehkonen is out with a shoulder injury. Valeri Nichushkin is currently suspended. Ross Colton, I think, injured his hand the other game, so it's looking unlikely that he's going to play on Monday. And then Gabriel Landeskog, their captain, hasn't played a game since the 2022 Stanley Cup final when Colorado won that series, won the Stanley Cup, because of a knee injury. And there have been a lot of rumors whether he's going to retire, whether he's not. And he came out in the summer saying, nope, I'm giving it a go. So at some point, I think Landeskog is going to return. The question is, when is he going to return? It could be, you know, I have no idea if he even is going to return, but he is planning that. Colorado has not gotten the goaltending this season. Alexander Georgiev has had a brutal start, a .499 goals against average, .810 save percentage through five games. So they are desperately looking for some help between the pipes. And so really driving the offense and driving the team for Colorado has been their dynamic trio of Nathan MacKinnon, Mikko Rantanen, and Cale Makar. Makar is actually tied right now in the NHL, the entire NHL, not just defensemen, in points with 15. MacKinnon and Rantanen are tied for third with 13 points. So those three are driving offense. At some point, they're going to get healthy and they're going to look like the Avalanche again. And I can't imagine they can get any worse goaltending than they're getting right now. So I expect Colorado to be in the mix and in the Stanley Cup contender mix, especially in the Western Conference at the end of the season. But the Hawks are catching them at a time where their roster is a little bit depleted. So let's see if the Hawks can take advantage on Monday when they visit Colorado. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to the help we had on the broadcast tonight, our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy. They were led by our captain, our colonel, the engineer, Brett Jackson, and of course, John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from Dallas. I'm your host, Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-2 Blackhawks loss to the Dallas Stars. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Monday night.